Good morning, everybody. We are so excited to be here. Y'all don't even know.
I'm excited.
We're really excited. So we'll introduce ourselves for those of you who don't know us.
Yep. Hello, everyone. That's one of the things I do with the kid, you know. Sunday school. You know, we just go, good morning. Excited. And it's like, good morning. So just to caught their attention, you know. Yeah. So for those who don't know me, so I'm Kike. And I know you guys been seeing his face maybe in the screen or in the Facebook, whatever. But praise God, I'm here today that you guys can see me, you know, in person. You know, like you guys can touch me. It's like, is he real? So, you know, super excited to talk to you guys about the goodness of the Lord, how good he has been with us.
Yeah. So, like he said, he's Kike and I'm Kelly. We've been married. It'll be 7 years this year. Yeah. It's crazy, right? and we have three children. Our older two, Anderson and Katie, y'all have seen their wildness around here before. But we also have Joanna, who is our newborn. She's here today with us. So y'all can go kiss her head or something later if you see her. But like we said, we are so excited to be here. This has been a desire of our heart for so long. I mean, you guys know how long we have prayed and sought the Lord and asked for his mercy and his grace over our life. And he has truly answered our prayer beyond measure. Yeah. Even though this season, as a lot of you guys know, has been a little bit more difficult than we were expecting, we have seen God over and over again show up in incredible ways. Like Joseph said, what you intended for evil, God has used for good. So that many would be saved. So we're excited to share with you guys a little bit about what's been going on in the Dominican. So, and even here in the States.
You want me to share about anything about the snow?
Oh, the snow. Yeah. So this has been his first year experiencing snow. It's been a little bit traumatic, so pray for him. I don't know who. People were telling us, they were like, we're praying that we get the worst winter ever when Kike comes. And I'm like, well, God answered y'all's prayer because.
So it was super cool just to watch the snow through the window. You know? But being in the snow, guys, it's not funny. You know,
all right. And Pastor, we're talkers, so give me like 15 minutes till the end. Give me a heads up, okay?
It's like done. Just wait.
Anyway, so we wanted to share with you guys, a lot of this you all have heard in the past and just got the Lord has continued these ministries on that we have begun in the Dominican. So one of the really cool things that we wanted to share with you guys this day is about some new ministries that God has given us an opportunity to jump in this past year. So would you like to share a little bit about your first responders?
First responders, guys. It's crazy because just see myself in this picture, I'm look like one of them. But actually, I don't know much about first responders, but I just get there to be able to share the love of Christ with those people. And how they go in like, to rescue and everything. So we use this as ministry, just to share it with them. Danny Valdez, that's the leader of the group.
Yeah, Responders on a Mission is
so
the name of
that's
the,
name of the ministry. Responders on a Mission. So, and I'm so thankful, you know, to this small group that you guys can see, I'm able to go to different area and in Dominican Republic and be able to share the love of Christ with them.
Yeah, it's really cool because, so as you know, same in the States, there's many men and even ladies who put their life on the line to go and rescue and save others. Mm-hmm. And so Kike gets to go and share with those individuals and say, just like you are doing this, Jesus has already done it for you. Yeah. So it has been so cool. As y'all know, Dominicans love to party. And during holidays, things get a little wild. And there are usually a lot of emergencies and accidents. So they go out and they set up clinics throughout the island on beaches and in places that are mainly popular or have high population. And they'll go and they'll pass out water. They'll and then share the gospel with the individuals who are out there, usually putting their life at risk. Yeah.
And the cool thing is doing this, it just to see their intentional, even when I was here, when I'm still here in the state, if they have any activity, they will call me I said, hey, I want you to pray for this, because every time that we have to go out, you know, I get together with them and we pray before we serve those people. And then just to see them like doing it and or just calling me, you know, hey, I just want to give you a heads up because we were doing this. That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's also really cool. We've been able to bring down multiple groups from the States of police officers, firefighters, and EMTs to come down and do trainings and bring, you know, in America, there's high regulation on the materials that you're able to use. So once they're expired but still functioning, they'll bring them down to the Dominican because there's a great lack of resources in that area. And so we've been able to they've brought down a fire truck. They've brought down the suits that the firefighters wear, the gear, oxygen tanks, all of that. So it's been an incredible opportunity. And like, he doesn't have a background in first responding. And so it's just been one of those God things. And it's like, okay, take the gospel where it needs to be. Yeah. So that's been really, really cool.
Now, the cool thing is, you know, like you said, I don't know much about, you know, the training, like how to do like CPR. So, but the good thing, like, I'm in there involved, like, even the clothes, they give me the clothes, like, you know, you part of our team, you know, but their intention, like we say, is just to share the gospel with those people.
Yeah, definitely. So, these pictures, we are so excited about. Let's see if I can get through here. Sorry, guys. I spent the last 10 years in a third world country. I don't know technology really well. So we had the coolest opportunity this last year. You guys know shoeboxes, Samaritan's Purse. Y'all have filled them. I've filled shoeboxes with you guys in the past. So we were actually on the receiving end of shoeboxes this year, which was, there's not even words to explain what a blessing that was to see. I think I have some pictures through here. Like I said, guys, you're going to see, I'm going to have to flip through all of these. I want to show y'all a picture. Okay, so there's some. Sorry. Okay, I'm gonna go back. Y'all have some grace for me. Anyways, so we'll get
it's
to it.
Here,
we went and we did some training with Samaritan's Purse, and they taught us how to, you know, deliver the shoeboxes, do it in a way that is peaceful, and but not only give these kids a Christmas gift, give them the shoeboxes, but they equipped us for a 3-month discipleship program afterwards. So I didn't know if you guys knew that. I didn't know that Samaritan's Purse did this. And so anyone who is over delivering shoeboxes, they are equipped with materials, everything you would need to do 3-month discipleship program for these children. They take them through Genesis to Revelation, the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And we were able to go into some of these, the remotest villages that I've ever been in. And let me tell you, it was a blast and hard at the same time. These roads, they are like the worst muddy roads you would ever see. We would get stuck up with like 20 kids in the back of our van, and they'd all get out and have to like push through the mud, and we would like stop. It was so much fun. But the cool thing is we saw souls saved. We saw people through that one little gift, that one little shoebox. We saw children to come and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it was probably one of the most joyful times in my life, looking back now and seeing all of that hard work, all of the prayer, all of your prayer. Like, I know you guys were praying all over the world, people praying and God planting those seeds and bringing fruit. That was like so cool. So,
it's just the faithfulness also of those kids. Even if it rained, they will be there waiting for us, you know. And then I remember that day when it was raining so bad. So our van got stuck. Even the parent, you know, came and helped us.
The whole community was out there, help like, us to push. Mud covered.
And the cool thing is when we get there in the small pavilion where we have this activity, all those kids was there, you know, and the graduation day, I remember. So they put they take their shoes off.
Yeah, because they all wanted to dress up really pretty. You can see the little girls in this picture for their graduation. So they all came barefoot because they didn't want to get their shoes muddy. So they were like stomping through the mud and all that. And then we made these little cardboard graduation caps out of construction paper and stuff. But it was, and those kids were so proud of themselves. If they remained faithful for the whole 3-month discipleship, they each received, you know, a reward and a certificate. And it was, I would say, one of the most proud days of their lives and their parents' lives to see them graduate and accomplish something. So that was really, really impactful. And we're hoping to continue that as we go on through a ministry. But that's been really cool. Let's see. That's our children's ministry we have in the Dominican. We'll talk a little bit about that. So here, this is our youth group that we started in our village. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if it's here in America or just in the DR, how the youth get, like, out of their comfort zone, you know, like children's having children.
Yeah, like we see these kids on a very dangerous path. Teenage girls having babies, young boys just joining gangs. And so we saw the need.
So we saw the need just to go and pour it off in those kids. Yeah, important to them. So, and the good thing is we saw the result.
Yeah.
You know, so they, like when you invite them to church, they just afraid to come to church. So what we did, it was like a youth activity. We have all this game. We have loud, like, you know, I'm super loud, you know, try to make competition
animated.
Like I told you guys before. So that called the attention and was able to share the gospel
and
with
food.
Them. And
food.
And
food brings them in.
And to the, like I said before, we see the fruit of them. Because some of those youth, now they're serving the Lord.
Yeah, it's been so cool. Yeah. And it was so we probably had ages, what, nine to 22. So we had like teenage mothers with their babies and like, and everybody was just joining in. It was a fun time and still is a fun time that they're continuing doing. And then out of this, our niece, Anna, she has decided to start a young ladies group in the community out of the girls who have been impacted. So those who have received Christ as their Savior and decide to go on a little further in their walk with the Lord, she's calling them into discipleship. Yeah. And so she's now equipping them, and we're really excited. Yeah. Actually, this summer, we're going to be doing like a gala with them. So y'all can be praying for that. But that's one really cool thing. Go ahead. You can
this guy in the wheelchair, his name is Reader, and the other guy is Edwin. So they are part of our disciple. So we have a small disciple group. I love to make disciples because this is a command from our Lord Savior. Therefore, go.
Go and make disciples.
And make disciples. Yeah. So I catch the vision, and we start a small group
Under
the mango tree. Yeah. But me and Kelly was like, we need to do something. We need to do something, but we didn't know how to do it. So we start with a couple. I said, okay, let's just read the Bible, you know, like some take some Bible verses and talk to them. So in our disciple group, been growing so much, you know.
It's
in under a mango tree, and there was a street next to it, and people was driving their moped, and what's happening there, you know. We say, we're just reading the Bible. And they say, can we come and join you guys? I say, of course. And then now of two people, sometimes we have like 22, 23 people just around sitting in a chair and listening to
the gospel. The word.
But the cool thing is, now that we're not in the DR, we're here in the state, these two guys, Reader and Edwin, they faithfully... Every Wednesday, they're sharing the gospel with
and multiplying the word. Yeah. And it's been such a beautiful testimony of God's promises, right? When he tells us to go and make disciples, he's going to equip you to make disciples, right? And so if you do it his way, there will be multiplication. It's not just addition. And so we saw the Lord bringing these two gentlemen into our life months before we were ever even like planning on coming to the States. And we just saw a passion and desire in them. And a lot of you probably have people in your life like this as well. And I'm telling you, if you invest in those, you will see the fruit. You will see the fruit. And so now it's almost like, I feel like we're kind of like parents and we stepped away to see like, okay, what are y'all going to do? Yeah. And they are, I feel like almost if we would have stayed there, we would have almost kept it from growing as much. You know what I mean? And that's the goal of any foreign missionary, is to let the locals perform the ministry and to continue on the ministry. So that's been kind of like a, okay, we might be doing the right thing.
So before, we get a little bit scared because we don't want to the ministry stop.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Lord just put in our heart like, hey, you know what? I got you. Yeah. Don't worry. So yeah. I got you.
I'll take care of it. It's not your ministry anyways. Yeah. It's God's. And yeah. so he has equipped the people around us to continue and grow it mm-hmm. even beyond what we were able to do. And so relinquishing that and having the faith to know, God, this is your baby. It's not ours. Has been a really cool testimony throughout this. So let's see. Baseball. That's you.
Baseball.
Mean, that's me, but the ministry's him.
So that's one of our, I think, like,
biggest yeah.
Ministry
outreaches,
we
yeah.
have in the DR, baseball. I love baseball.
So, can you tell?
So we received group from all of the United States to go to the DR and play against the Dominicans. You know, the Dominicans, they're really competitive.
And
you
good.
Know, they will play to win.
Yeah.
So... But the good thing is this, after we play against them, we get together and we're able to share the gospel with them. And it's not just we went and play and share the gospel. No, no. We have disciples in those fields who go there every week to guide a small group with those players.
Mm-hmm.
And we have coaches also to become Christian because of what we did.
Our outreaches.
So,
yeah.
And one of the things, we go to different communities. This is a small community. So it's not just the kid who play baseball. The entire community come and support the kid and support the vision that we have for those kids.
Yeah, and so not only do the players hear the gospel, the whole community gets an opportunity to hear it. And something that I think is hilarious that they do is in our village, Los Montones, they have two teams, two softball teams. They have the Christians and the non-believers.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
get to choose which team you want to be on. There's only two teams in our village.
Yeah.
And so, you can yeah. talk about
so,
I think it's so
because
funny.
Because I'm too old to play baseball, so I joined softball team. You know, slow pitch, so... So even if it's slow pitch, you know, you still hit like a fly ball. So, but anyways, I joined that team just to that vision, you know, to do the same thing, to be able to share the gospel with them. And they already know, say, okay, the Christian team will play against the unbelievers. And all the community
the
also
village
just
comes
come
out to see who wins.
And to watch
so
it. And we did like tournament.
Challenges.
And now we see fruit.
Yeah.
Because the with the unbeliever that we play against, now they are in our team.
Yeah, the unbelievers
know,
have
played
left
for
the
unbeliever
team and have come to join the Christian
you know, and,
team.
And
so
they,
it's cool.
And they share, you know, they share, like we give them the opportunity to yeah. share and say, I remember last year I was in your team and now I'm in this team. You know, that was so good and how faithful the Lord has
yeah,
been
to
us.
That is one of the most joyful outreaches that we're able to be a part of. It's pretty fun. So these things, you guys actually have been a part of this outreach for the past couple years. This is our hospital outreach. So for Christmas, for the past, 3 years, about 3 years ago, the Lord put a burden on my heart. So Kike's mother went through a horrible, excruciating death with cancer. And in that time that we were in the hospital with her, I began to observe the needs of people. How a lot of people were going without basic needs, toilet paper, towels, food. There were parents who couldn't leave their children because they were the only parent there. And so the parent was going hungry. So the Lord started putting that burden on my heart to see these people who were unseen, and specifically the children. So we reached out to you guys, and we reached out to a few other churches, and we were able to deliver Christmas presents
yeah.
and bags full of snacks and food, toiletries, Bibles to about 50 different individuals the first year, which was like so incredible. You can see some of the kids here receiving their gifts and praying for like this little boy. He was hit by a motorcycle and just praying for healing over these precious individuals and these babies. And so we did it again the next year, and then yeah. we did it. And so God is so faithful. He knew that this was my heart, and I was pretty disappointed that wasn't going to be something I was going to be able to do this year. And one of our pastors from one church that, yeah. you know, we have that group of pastors and leaders that we minister to and equip, reached out to me who had been involved with me, and his wife is a doctor, and she's like, I want to continue this ministry. How can I do it? And so we got on the phone, we started calling people, we started messaging people, we got people to send the resources down there. And actually just yesterday I received pictures of pictures
Saturday.
Of them going to the hospital with probably 8 different individuals, because in the beginning it was just me and 2 other girls. And so they had 8 people, and they were able to take the not only obviously material resources, but the gospel and prayer and love, God's love to
and the
these
way
people.
This people receive you there, oh. It's like you're a family.
Yeah.
You know, just not just to see the bag of like material or snack, but it just to see in your hand a Bible, like this is for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I want you to know that we're here for you, mm-hmm. and we want to tell you about the one who, like, the great healer,
yeah.
You know, so just give hope.
And then when you place yourself in that position, and you're just like, God, use me, use any part of me to bring just a little bit of hope to this person. You see God's heart for these people, the most broken, the most unseen, the most forgotten, and God begins to show you things, and He begins to speak through you, and you begin to realize a little bit of His deep love that He has for them for us, right? Yeah. So that is one of the ministries that, like, gets me every time. I always cry. But this is a village called
Gaviota.
It is a very, very distant village. There we've done multiple different outreaches with the children's, VBSs, sort of things, in line with a lot of what we have already shared. Another baseball picture, games with our kids. I'm trying to get to. Another really cool opportunity that we have had as a ministry has been construction. It was really cool, probably, 4 years ago, God put on your heart to do a construction ministry. We don't have any background in construction, but we just saw the need. And we were like, okay, Lord, we're willing. If you give us the resources and the people with the knowledge, we'll do it. So you want to share a little bit about
it? So I started reaching out to people, like, see the need. Because I came from a village. And village, I was playing you guys how it is. It's like a village in the Dominican Republic is surrounded of sugarcane field. So really far of the civilization, right? Far from the city. And those people don't have much. Because I had the same experience that they having when I was growing up. So the Lord just put this in my heart, just to go and seek and see how can I help those people. And when you get there, they still have the dirt floor, and the holes in the roof. So whenever it's rain, you know, all the water get into that. And the Lord put this in my heart, and I started, like, touching people, talking about them. And now we were able to build house for those people, bathroom, because they use the outhouse bathroom. And now they have, like, a bathroom in their house. And then that's amazing. It's not just houses. Also, we were able to build a pavilion, you know, for churches to be able to share the Sunday school with different kids.
And it's really cool because it's a place that we just invite. There's 3 churches in Los Montones. And so we just invite all of the body of Christ come and use these areas, because we know where we might not be able to reach a person, you might be able to.
Yeah.
And so it's also been a unifying effect in our community. We've seen God bring bodies of believers that have been so divided because of denominational backgrounds coming together as one. Now what's cool is we will host these revival nights, and we'll have these people from this church sing. We'll have these people from this church share the gospel. These people will, you know, share a testimony, and we all just come together to bring the gospel to our small community of Los Montones. Yeah. Because there's only, 400 families in Los Montones? It's not that big. And so it's not that far-fetched to believe that every single person in that community can be saved by the grace of God in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
That's the goal. And so that's what we're working towards in our community, as well in other places in the Dominican. So it's been really cool. How much more time do we have? Great. We're good. Okay, so we're trying to talk fast. It's a lot. It was cool because last night we were just talking about it, and we were saying, wow, like, even just going over all of this, you don't realize it when you're in the thick of it, yeah, right? You don't realize everything God is doing. But then when you step back and you look, you're like, God, you have been so much better than we could have ever imagined. Like, who am I? Like, just a little girl from West Virginia. Like, I thought I was going to marry a coal miner and stay here forever. Like, how is this my life? But it's God's goodness. And that is the cool thing. And so we've been through, as we shared, like a little bit of a difficult season recently with our daughter. Some of you know, she was born with a virus that I had contracted in my first trimester unknowingly. And she was born with her brain only developed to 29 weeks. She had a couple of different brain injuries her brain was developing. She was her thyroid was completely underdeveloped, and they're saying she's deaf in both ears, as well as some other things that she's going through. So, needless to say, we've been here a lot longer than we were expecting. It's been a little bit bittersweet because we miss home. Dearly, but we have seen God move. And so one of the coolest things that we've seen is while we were here, especially because of my husband's circumstance and history, God started opening our eyes to the immigrant population that is expanding here, even in Beckley. People who are unseen, people who are forgotten. It's a vacuum. There's nothing for them. And so God just brought this one lady into our life from Honduras, and we just started talking to her, and she was like, I have been praying that God would send people to bring the word, to bring the word to me. And because since Honduras, she hasn't had anyone. And so little by little, we just started congregating with these Spanish speakers
in her house.
And then every week we congregate with them. And I think last week we had 12 Spanish speakers and their kids just running around. You know how it is. Yeah. And we were just looking at like, God, how, like, you are so good, like so much better than we thought.
I think those things is happening when God knows your heart. Yeah. Remember, I said, okay, Lord, send me, you know, but I didn't realize when he sent you.
You're going to do what he says.
Yeah, it's like out of your comfort zone. You know what I mean? It's like that's not what you were expecting. But if you have his love, you know, you will do whatever he told you to do. And just to see us, like, ministry to those Spanish speakers who, like, I never thought I would find somebody who will just pour it on me. Yeah. And just to see how faithful they are, you know, just to get together and then, like, because they're hungry.
Yeah.
You know, they're hungry just to hear the love
of God
and
their
language.
Yeah, and there is such a need for it because, like this lady, Dunya, she invites a church from Tennessee to come here every 2 weeks to come bring church service to her home because there's nothing for her here. And these people faithfully come. They drive 4.5 hours every 2 weeks to come and bring the gospel after they get out of work. They get at her house to her house at 7:30, and they don't leave until 11:30, almost midnight, go home and then go to work. And they do that. And we were talking to these people, and they do the same thing in North Carolina. They said they don't get home until 5 a.m. the days that they go to North Carolina, and then they go to work. And it's like, well, I want that. Like, I want this too. And being around them, we've started catching it because America gets sleepy, right? Like, it gets a little bit like you get comfortable, and then you get around these people who are literally dying of thirst for the gospel. Yeah. And it's like, how can I not bring this to you? Yeah. If I have it, how can I not? Yeah. And so, it's been really encouraging. Y'all can pray for us as we don't know where this is going to go, but we're just like, okay, God, like, we'll do it. And that the Lord would continue to raise up disciples that when we do head back, we'll be able to maintain this because I really believe that God sees these people and cares about them greatly. I will let you continue. Thank you, God.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, guys, we have a few hours. Get comfortable. Not really. So, before I began to talking to you guys, I would love to read a passage of the scripture. So in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 through 19. So I love for my pastor, love to read that verse for me, because I don't know if you guys can hear my broken English, so I'm super bad reading it. So would you like to read it for me, sir?
Church, would you stand for the reading of God's word, please? This is 1 John 4, verses 16 through 19. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Pastor. Today I want to share with you guys a little bit of my testimony. So who is Kike, where he came from, oh, what he has been doing. So I grew up in a Christian home, you know, family of seven. My dad used to work in the sugarcane field, you know, and see the need of my parents. You know, like I said, it's family of seven. And in my house, we used to eat lunch around 3:30 to 4. It's like one meal a day. The payment of my dad per day was like $3 or $4 per day. It was really, really, really bad. And there's time we have to eat sugarcane. I don't know if you guys have tried sugarcane before. It is just sweet water. You know, you just chew and sweet water. And that's what we have to eat in some of those days. But my dad has something to say all the time, like, God is good. And then he says all the time, God is good. And I remember this this a lift called Liam Pagne. This is like, you know, if you don't have any food to eat, you just go in the woods, you know, try to get those lift and boil it, put some salt in it, or chicken bouillon, whatever you have, and drink it, like as a food. And when you run, if you're running, you can just hear all this water just in your body, because you don't have any solid food. And I remember my dad saying that God is good. And my older brother, his name is Joshua, he gets so mad with my dad. And he says, I think you have to stop saying that God is good, because look what we're eating, sugarcane. And my dad says, even we're eating sugarcane, God is still good to us. How Kike become a Christian? Remember, I became a Christian when I was 6 years old. My dad called me and he says, Kike, we got to talk. Oh, I got so scared. I thought I was in trouble. You know, and then he said, today I will share with you a beautiful story about a good man and a bad man. I just sit in my dad's lap, and then he began sharing with me about Jesus. You know, why he came on earth, why he died on the cross, you know, and why he resurrected. All this beautiful story my dad was sharing with me. And he said, but that's not all. Let me tell you about the bad guy. You know, he just come to destroy family. Always try to bring people in his team, but the end of his end is hell. And then how bad it is, you know, all those stories he was telling me. And I would tell my dad, Dad, that's bad. And he said, yeah, I know it's bad, but you right now, sorry, but you have to choose a team. I was like, of course, Dad. Tell Jesus I want to be in his team. He's the good guy. I want to be in his team. He says, I'm sorry, I can't do that for you. Ah, my face was like, you just told me about it and now you say you can help me? He says, no, you have to tell him that you want to be in his team. And I remember I pray, you know, he prayed with me and I received the Lord. You know, I began to work in his team. But it wasn't easy, guys. Seeing the situation of my parent, you know, not finding food to feed us, I just put in my head this. I want to be a baseball player to help my family. I want to be a baseball player to help people like me in my village. So I began playing baseball. I was kind of good. But the good thing is like the passion for the baseball was there. When I turned 16, that's the good year or time for you to get signed in the DR. 16, 17, that's the best age. So I got sick. I got appendicitis removed. I was super sad and I told the doctor, so can I go back and play baseball? He said, yeah, 8 or 9 months, you'll be ready to go. So I waited this time, but when I went to the field, running, kidding and everything, so I got my infected, like my kidney got infected. The surgery also got infected. It was like a mess. You know, it took me back to the hospital. I couldn't sleep because of the pain. And my dad was there with me, but I was praying. I was saying, Lord, I'm one of your servants. And your word, I found that you have sent your disciples two by two to go pray for those who are sick. I said, where are your disciples? I'm here suffering in this bed. Where are your disciples? God, guys, don't believe me. Believe in Jesus. This is a man who showed up. And he says in his prayer, Father, I have arrived. I'll put my hand. Take my hand off and put your hand. And this man began praying for me. I have a tube in my nose. I can't walk to the bathroom. They have to move me in a wheelchair to go to the bathroom. And this man began praying for me. But when he was praying, I said, Lord, if you help me, I will come back in this hospital and share your gospel with all those people here. He hear my prayer. So, and I remember my sister was there and she says to me, I think it was like a 5 months later, she said, just remember the promise you said to the Lord. And I said, you know what? I have to do that. I went to the hospital, share the gospel with all those people. And the way they received, not they received me, the way they received the gospel was amazing. And I'm so happy and proud of my wife, you know, just taking that step, go to the hospital and taking the word of hope for those people there. Because they need hope. And in Jesus we find hope. And that Bible verse we just read, this is amazing. That's how God do things. He just put his love in you for you to be able to do that. So you can't do like anything without his love. Without what 1 John chapter 4 says. His love casts out fear. If you are fear, you can do. It's because you still don't know his love. And my dad told me, son, I think it's time for you to stop playing baseball. It is okay. I said, Dad, but you know I want to help. He said, it is okay. I didn't get signed. I didn't play professional. But I want you guys to know for sure that my name is written in heaven. And whenever I have to leave this earth, I know for sure I have a beautiful mansion waiting for me. And that's the hope I will tell everybody. There is hope in Jesus. Talking about experience God's love. I want to ask you guys, have you experienced his love? Like even, it could be like a small portion of his love. Have you experienced that? If you have not, I encourage you today just to ask him. It's not like a magical thing. He just put faith in him and asked him, Lord, show me you love and help me to work in your love. Like me and my wife says, you know, just, Lord, we're here in the DR, in America. And our time here has been expanded. We're supposed to leave as soon as our baby get her passport. Now the baby get the passport, but we're still stuck here because of her situation. Show me what to do. Show me how to invest my time here in this country. And that's when he showed us the Spanish speaker. And then we just respond to that. You know what? It's because his love is in us. His love is inside of me. And I would love to keep talking about his love, guys. But I don't have time. And I would just want you guys to stay with this small question, just for yourself. Am I have experienced God's love? Do I have his love? Or how can I get his love? Just get together. Get together. Ask the pastor, Chris. Ask some believer, how can I experience God's love? What should I do to experience his love? And his definitely will do that. Thank you so much for listening. The word of God. Pastor?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Kike. I'm going to just pray for you. Church, would you, as I pray for him and for Kelly and their family, would you just pray along and let's commit these precious individuals to God and his work. Father, thank you so much for what you've already done in Kike's life. Thank you for bringing him to yourself. And thank you for Kelly and for using a girl from West Virginia to really literally make an impact for eternity in half a world away. Father, you are faithful. You are big. You are so much bigger than we give you credit for. And Father, you have been so faithful already in this family's life, bringing them here, giving Kike the passport that he needed. Father, thank you for what you've done, and thank you for what you're going to do. I pray that you would work out all the details with their precious child. I pray that you would heal what is needing to be healed in your timing and in your perfect way. I pray that you would work out all those details. I pray that you would restore and renew. I pray that you would make the way for them to get back to the DR in your timing. May they be willing to wait on you. Thank you for what you've already done in giving them opportunities for ministry here and now. And I pray that you continue to bless and use them while they're here. And Father, when they go back, continue to prepare the fields for them to work in. The fields are ready for harvest. And I pray that you would not only use them, but keep raising up other workers in that harvest. And I pray that you would do the same here. May we too be willing to get out of our comfort zone, to share the love that we have because of you. May we be faithful to share the truth and the hope that we have and not keep that to ourselves. So, Father, I pray your blessing on this family. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to continue to do. We commit them, their lives, their ministry to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.